G'day, Webby. How are you this morning?
Good morning, boys. Great to be joining you.
Webby, I'll tell you what, Wayne Bennett's been entertaining this week.
Define entertaining. He certainly wasn't entertaining after the game yesterday. It was a 1 minute and 25 second press conference.
What did he say?
Not much.
Can I ask you, ask the first question?
You know when
it's got to be prickly like that, Webby? When you walk into a press conference, do you sort of look at the journos and say, like, you go first, or do you want me to open the batting, or how do you approach it?
I don't think anyone actually, I can't actually recall. I've been to a press conference after a game for a while. I'm usually just sitting there in my pipe and reeling off some comment pieces.
I know, but you just know that he's going to be prickly, don't you, after a performance like that?
You do, actually.
In the week.
I have been on the end of a Bennett rant at a press conference where he's just stonewalled me and given me nothing. And but then again, I've had some press conferences where he's been really expansive and every single word's quotable. So, you know, he's been pretty edgy, as we saw in that press conference in the lead up to the Penrith game. And I have to say, I sort of get it. I think I've been saying on this show for a couple of weeks, I don't think Bennett is going anywhere next season, and I honestly believe that. He's been linked to the Dragons, the Bulldogs, the Warriors, you know, and Bennett's been a master manipulator of the media for a very, very long period of time. I can't really think of a coach that's been as good at it as he has. But I genuinely think he's not going anywhere because, one, why would he leave that team when there's a potential premiership around the corner? I know they didn't look at so much last night. He's on good money. He's at a strong club. And why would he go to a club like the Dragons or the Bulldogs or the Warriors that are, you know, pretty much in disarray in many respects? I think that what the issue is, though, with a lot of this speculation, and I've written about it in my column in the Herald today, is that a lot of these, it happens in football so much now, and particularly around clubs like the Dogs, where there's third parties or wannabe kingmakers or whoever who are, you know, they're on the peripheries who are connected to the league club or a team sponsor, and they go and make approaches on behalf of other people or on behalf of the club, or it gets flipped where there's other third parties or managers who will make an approach on behalf of a coach, which is believed to be the case with the approach to the Warriors on behalf of Bennett, without Bennett's knowledge whatsoever. Mm. And that's where so much of this speculation comes from. Journalists just don't sit there and pull it out of their backsides. They really don't. Like, not anyone. If you did that, you'd be called out pretty soon. You wouldn't go too far in the game. So it's got to come from somewhere. And that's where a lot of it comes from. But I just think Bennett was fed up with it, and I think the anger was genuine when he had a nice old crack at everybody in the lead up to last night's game.
Webby, can you explain to me how the factions at the Bulldogs work? I mean, so you've got a guy that's apparently a number of people that aren't on the board, but they have power. How does that happen?
So the way, without, you know, I don't want to declare too much because it's really murky. I find the Dogs a really weird club to get to the bottom of at the moment. But as it's been explained to me, there's three factions. There's the board, that there's another faction on that board, the board that's chaired by Lynn Anderson and whose husband Chris is an influential character at the club. That's why I find it very funny that people think that Bennett's going to come to the Bulldogs, because as far as I knew, Chris Anderson and Wayne Bennett are hardly the best of mates. So I'd find that to be a very strange union. Then there's another faction on the Bulldogs board that's getting a little bit itchy with the way things are going there at Belmore. And then there's the Leagues Club and people that are involved with the Leagues Club. So you've got three factions at the one club. Meanwhile, poor old Dean Pay is coaching for his life. They've had issues with salary cap for the last 2 years. You've got Andrew Hill, the CEO there, who's trying to keep it all together. They've got, you know, players like Kieran Ford, who they need on the field, but has been up and down for the last two seasons with injuries. So I actually feel really sorry for Dean Pay, the way things have developed there over the last couple of years. And whether he gets to keep his job beyond this year, it seems unlikely, but, you know, you never know. I feel really sorry for him, the way it's sort of transpired there in the last couple of seasons.
The hybrid match has been mooted before, Webby. Kangaroos and the All Blacks. If there's a time to have it, this is as good a time as any, isn't it?
Well, you're right, Jared. I reckon I've been a journo for 25 years and I've seen this story 20 times in that time, and I reckon I've probably written it 5 times myself. But if it's going to happen, this would be it. And the reason why it would be is because the New Zealand Rugby Union actually need the money. Now, people would think, how does the All Blacks, a worldwide franchise, for want of a better term, like the All Blacks, need money? They've got seven, as it was explained to me yesterday, they've got 7 to 8 sponsors actually coming off contract at the end of this year, including Air New Zealand, which has been a long-time sponsor of New Zealand Rugby Union. So, given the travel restrictions around international rugby teams, they can only play the Wallabies so many times. So I think that's why the New Zealand Rugby Union are actually entertaining it. But someone at the NRL, I don't think the appetite for it actually comes from the NRL. Someone at the NRL said to me yesterday, there's a less than 5% chance of it happening. So I know Dean Lonergan, who is the promoter that's pushing it, has been wanting this for quite a number of years, and he's got a very wide thinking, Dino, about a lot of things, but I just cannot see this happening at all. Yeah. I don't know. What about you guys? Well, would you be that interested in seeing it?
Well, what does it do, Webby, as well, to International Rugby League? Should we be playing Tonga, Samoa, and you know, concentrating on developing the Pacific nations rather than just having a short-term cash grab for some gimmick that, you know, will be forgotten pretty quickly?
I agree. And what would it prove? What would the rules be? I know there's been reports of that a 14-man game, but as it was explained to me by people close to the whole thing yesterday, is that they haven't even got that far down the track. So, I can't see it happening. As I said, this has been mooted many, many, many times over many, many years, and it's never seen the light of day. I think also the fact that it got out with negotiations so early will probably kibosh the whole thing. So anyway, it's just another hybrid game story that's been written. I'm sure it won't be the last.
Another headline for you, Webby. Anyway, buddy, what about Dragons Roosters? I see Tedesco and Josh Morris are not playing. Is this an example of some players being rested, in your opinion?
Well, look, not in terms of Josh Morris. So he suffered that calf strain yesterday. I have written a story on the Morris brothers, and I was in today's paper, and I was just about to press send when I got a text message saying Josh Morris had suffered a calf strain. So if that's not a mock, I don't know what is, me writing a story on someone. But then Tedesco, I'm surprised that he's been ruled out. Or he passed all his COG tests. He has shown no symptoms whatsoever since he got steamrolled by Mike Acevo last Saturday night. It's a funny story around concussions at the Roosters boys. So if someone gets concussed, the players' teammates will say, do you remember that money that you owe me? Remember that hundred that you snipped off me? And if they pass the money test, they're usually all right to play. But I think Trent Robinson has erred on the side of caution. And you saw Ivan Cleary talking about it after their win over South last night, about the importance of trying to manage your squad in this season where there's no breaks with Origin, there's no buys, it's a mad rush, a mad dash to the finish. So I just think it's a judicious call from Trent Robinson to not play his superstar player and burn him out in a very long season.
Nathan Cleary played last night after obviously suffering an infection. His head didn't look great last night, by the way, Webby.
He looked like the Elephant Man. I remember seeing when they were warming up in the rooms, I said, what is going on with Nathan Cleary's head? And I started Googling, trying to think. I can't remember him getting a head knock or a gash against Melbourne the week before. But he came out, and so much for him playing or just running the team around the park and playing in a dinner suit, as Brad Fittler was saying on Channel 9's commentary. He was that embarrassed by how he looked, Nathan Cleary. He didn't want to front any interviews after the game, would you believe? I don't know if we put it in the Trevor Gilmeister. Remember in 1995 where Trevor Gilmeister was on a drip for an infection in his leg and he ripped out the IV drip and then came out and had a blinder for Queensland and they won the series 3-0 in 1995. But I don't know if it's up there, but it's a pretty courageous performance from Nathan. And they look good, Penrith. I've been a bit up and down about their form and early in the season, but after they, you know, almost went the distance with Parramatta, and then the way they played against Melbourne, they're definitely a top 14. All that great talent they've had over the years is starting to bear fruit.
Yeah, no, they're a good side. Now Nathan knows how I used to feel. That was me every week running around with my big snoz out there, Webby. I didn't want to front the media after the game.
You were all right, Oz. Your head wasn't that bad. I think worse in the game.
Gary from Newcastle has just texted through. I think you mentioned it earlier as well, Oz. Cleary looked like an avatar. Tough.
That's not bad. I might start doing some lookalikes in tomorrow's paper of what Nathan Cleary looks like.
On you, Webby. Great to talk to you, mate. Have a great weekend.
Good on you, boys.